Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Isaiah 60. Isaiah is in the second half of the Old Testament. So if you open your Bible in the Old Testament, you'll probably open it somewhere around the Psalms. And just move towards the New Testament, a couple of books. Isaiah 60. And you, for those of you that are eagle-eyed among you, know I've done away with technology tonight. I've gone back to the old, because this is a series of teaching that I taught back in 2008, and I'm just going to take a few notes from it. So Isaiah 60, verse 1, verses 1 and 2, that's the ones we're going to read. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
Peter 2 says the nations would be covered in darkness.
Which translation? The earth. Cover the earth. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. That the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Now, as we look at this subject, as we're going to get into this subject, God willing, on the glory, let me first just give you what the translation of this word glory is. Because what is the glory of God? You know, we talk about the glory, and we talk about God being glorified. Well, the Hebrew word glory, and as it's found in this verse, or these verses here, is the word kabod. Kabod. Look, K-A-B-O-D. Kabod. And this can mean to have great splendor. It can mean majesty. Talk about the majesty of God. It can mean abundance or plenty. Abundance or plenty. But actually, if you break it right down to the very, what we call its rawest form, the very earliest form of it, you'll see that it means heaviness or weightiness. Heaviness or weightiness. Now, of course, on the negative side, that would be burdensome. And we can have a heavy burden. But with on the positive side of that, we've got the idea or the thought that talking about something being numerous or rich. You know, when we talk about the glory of God, it may bring a burden upon us. A burden to pray. A burden to just seek God. And because that's the idea of the heaviness or the weightiness, putting that upon us. But of course it could be talking about God's glory in his abundance toward us. His richness. Was it? I think in the Ephesians it talks about the exceeding riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And that's talking about the richness, you know, his abundance. But there's one word that really best defines this word kabod. And if we want an explanation, what does glory really mean? We can use this one word, great, or greatness. The greatness of God. You know, his power, his majesty, his love, all come under this one banner, the greatness of God. So that's really a one-word definition, which encompasses everything about glory, the word great. And as we go through, you'll see how this is shown in the scriptures. Now, before we go anywhere else, we're going to go to another Old Testament book, because I want to, again, in defining glory, come with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33.
Kabod, where is it taken from?
Kabod is Hebrew.
Yeah, but where is it in here?
Glory, the word glory.
Oh, okay.
The word glory.
The Hebrew word glory.
The Hebrew word for glory. Okay. Or the main Hebrew word for glory. Exodus 33. And we're going to start reading at verse 17. Exodus 33, verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. Moses has a conversation with the Lord about, you know, if we're going to go in, we want to make sure that you're going with us, Lord. We want to make sure you're not going to leave us and desert us. You're going to be faithful to us. And so he says, and he asks questions of God about his presence. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me, this is Moses making a request of God, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. Moses asks of God that he himself might see God's glory. Show it to me. And actually, if you look at verse 17, you'll see there's something there which let me tell you this. You know, I've been teaching to you over the last few weeks about tuning into God and being and hearing from God. I've seen two things today in the scriptures which previously I've either skipped over or I've never known them. And one of them is in verse 17. Because what we have here, God says to Moses, he says, you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. There's relationship. And what happens when we have that type of relationship? Mm-hmm. We can make requests. And actually, this request that Moses makes of God here, he says, show me your glory, is probably a request that any one of us will make or has made in the past. Because whenever we get close to God, we have this this desire in our hearts to know more of him, to know him more deeply, more intimately. And we might ask, you know, Lord, show me your power, show me your glory, show me more of your love, show me your greatness. And this is what Moses asks. He says, please, Lord, he says, show me your glory. And then God says something to him. And I want you to just take note of the words that God is saying. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, in these few verses that we've read here, God begins to say, he says, I'm going to make all of my goodness pass before you, in verse 19. When my glory has passed by, or while it's passing by, while my glory is passing. So here we have a God connecting his goodness with his glory. So all of God's goodness is his glory. It's his abundant loving kindness, his abundant goodness towards us. When Moses asked to see the glory of God, God says, I'll show you my glory, because all of my goodness is going to be passed before you. Everything that's good about me, I will cause it to be passed by before you. So in response to the request that Moses makes, God says that he's going to pass before him and show him all his goodness. But then he says something. And again, this is the second thing that God's shown me today. And it's from this same portion of scripture. Just as I was going back over it today and looking at it and reading it through. We have here in verse 21. It says, here is, the Lord said, here is a place by me. Now, he's not talking about being in the tabernacle. He's not saying, Moses, you go into the tabernacle and you'll see my glory. He says, Moses, he says, you come to me. There's a place by me where I will show you my glory. And as he says, you shall stand on the rock. Who is the rock? Jesus. Jesus, the word of God. Jesus, the word. Stand on the rock. You will see my glory. And then he says something else in the next verse. He says, and while my glory is passing by, he says, I'm going to hide you in the rock. We're going to be hidden in Christ, in Jesus. And when we're hidden in Jesus, we have that relationship. We're in that place where we will see physical manifestations of God's glory, his goodness, his power, his love, his, all that outpoured, everything that heaven has as it's poured out. We see it in Christ Jesus. When we're hid in Christ Jesus, we're hid in the cleft of the rock. We stand on it, there's relationship, and we know that relationship is in Christ. We're hidden in him. And God said to Moses that while he's hidden in the rock, all of the goodness and glory of God would pass by. Now, the glory is very often manifest in tangible things. And particularly in the Old Testament, if you look through it, you'll see that, and you'll know this, that as the people of God were being led from one place to another, they followed a cloud and a pillar of fire. And in other places in the Old Testament, you'll see that when God's glory came upon them, there was a physical, tangible manifestation of a cloud or of fire. And these things were often seen when God's glory was present. We see it in the New Testament when Jesus was on the mountain, and I spoke about it a few weeks ago, he was transfigured before. The cloud came down. The glory of God came down. And, you know, Peter, James and John were there with him on that mountain. And we read a verse earlier in Isaiah where it said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." You know, when we're hid in Christ Jesus, God's glory will be seen upon us. Now, in the New Testament, while Saul was making a journey to Damascus, he was traveling, he had in his possession arrest warrants for anyone that called on the name of the Lord. Anyone that went by the name Christian. If you were caught and found worshipping, giving praise, not so much to God, but to Jesus, worshipping him, then you were a target for Saul. And he would have had you arrested, thrown into prison, and possibly put to death, because that's the type of man he was. But on the road to Damascus, as he was traveling there with these arrest warrants from the chief priests, from those religious leaders, what happened? A light shone around him from heaven. The glory of God was physically seen. This light. This manifestation of the glory. And in Acts 22, when he's recounting his testimony to the Jewish people, and he's telling them his testimony of how he met the Lord on the road, he actually says in Acts 22, verses 6, he refers to the glory of the light. Because that's what he saw, this bright light. And you know what happened, he fell to his knees. He says, you know, "Who are you, Lord?" And then the voice came and says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And he refers to that light he saw as the glory of the light. You know, a physical manifestation of God's presence, of God's power, God's love, God's glory. That heaviness, not so much the negative side, but that abundant goodness of God. We see it again in the Gospels. I've touched on Jesus on the mountain, but let's look at Luke's Gospel. Because we're just about to come into a season where everything's going to be about the birth of Jesus. We're going to remember the birth of Jesus. We are going to rejoice and celebrate his coming, his first coming. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26. Now this is a passage you will know. You will know this passage. You will hear this passage read, I'm sure, at some stage over the next 2 weeks. And you're going to start by hearing it tonight. And this won't be the first time you hear it. Luke 1 verse 26. "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Let's just stop there for a moment. When the angel Gabriel came into where she was, he greeted her, and he said to her, "The Lord is with you. God is with you." And then he goes, "Blessed are you among women. The Lord is with you." When normally in the scriptures, when you see that phrase or something like that, God was with him, or God, or the Lord was with him, you see that quite a few times. You see it in the life of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, all of David. You see it in all their lives. But God said, the Lord, in the life of Moses, in the life of Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you," he said to Joshua. Where with this sort of phrase, or this idea, "The Lord is with you," it's talking about God's presence, God's glory being upon them. Now, inside us, in us, you know, we are his home. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have God living inside us by his Spirit. But they didn't have that in the Old Testament. They didn't have that before Calvary. Before the cross, there was no indwelling.
No dwelling.
But we have these statements in the scripture where the Lord is with you. God was upon him. The Spirit of God came upon him. We have those. And this is talking about God's presence with... Now, God was present. God was living in the ark, in the tabernacle. But we have these occasional references where it specifically says the Lord was with him, her, upon them, or God came upon them. And it's talking about this physical manifestation of the glory of God. And here's... It says that here. It says, "The Lord is with you." Now, how do we know this is a manifestation of the glory? Because Mary goes on. And she says, what manner of greeting is this? Then the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary," verse 30. It says, "For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary asks a question, verse 34. She speaks to the angel. She says, "Well, how can this be, since I do not know a man?" How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answers and says to her exactly how it will be. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Highest will overshadow you. She was going to be under manifestation of the glory of God. The glory of God would come upon her, and she would conceive in her womb and bring forth this child. Now, in the New Testament, in other places in the New Testament, in Acts 10, verse 38. It says that God, Jesus did everything he did, not because he was God. We're talking about God being, Jesus being man and God. And when Jesus was on the earth, yes, he was all man and all God at the same time. But Jesus didn't do anything. I'm talking about the miracles. When he healed the sick, when he broke the bread for the thousands, when he walked on, he did none of those things because he was God, or as God. Everything he did on earth, he did as a man. He was fully man. And it says in Acts 10:38, it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because he was God. Have you turned it up? Are you following me? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because he was God. No, because God was with him. Doesn't say because he was God, because God was with him. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He was anointed of God. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And God was with him. There was a physical manifestation of God's glory upon him. And it talks about he did good. He did good. He was a channel through which the glory of God was being poured out in the earth. God's glory. In John's Gospel chapter 2. Okay, we're going to come back to Luke. So put your a marker in there, a finger or something. Come with me to John's Gospel chapter 2. John, the Gospel of John. That's in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 2. And at the beginning of this chapter, we have the first recorded miracle of Jesus, where he is at a wedding feast. And you know what happens at this wedding feast? The bride and the groom haven't brought enough wine, or they haven't prepared enough wine. They had very thirsty guests. But they had this embarrassing situation where they ran out of wine. And you know what happened? His mother came to him and said, they've got no wine. He said, well, what's that got to do with me? But then he goes on and he begins to tell the master or the servants to take. And it says in verse 11, it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. So he's talking about this sign. It says, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You know, this act of goodness, if that's the right word, that was flowed through him, from God through him, it was a manifestation of his glory. Remember when God spoke to Moses, he said, oh, my goodness is going to pass before you. Everything about me that's good is going to pass before you. Here, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. Went about doing good. He went about being a vessel through which God's glory would be manifest in the earth. Now, the eyewitnesses, the apostles, they said of him, go back a couple of chapters.
Peter, earlier on, I can't remember what it was, it says there's nothing that God can't do.
Yes. Back in Luke. Go back to John chapter 1. Because the disciples, when they were talking about Jesus, again, this is a scripture that you will be very familiar with. John 1 verse 14. Now here's a scripture you'll be very familiar with. It says, and the word became flesh. Now we know this is talking about Jesus, because John starts his chapter here, starts his gospel, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then he goes on talking about the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. And the disciples said this, or John writes this, he says, and we, the group of us, said, we beheld his glory. We saw his glory. We saw that physical manifestation of God's glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We were eyewitnesses to the glory of God. We saw it in God became flesh. God dwelt among us. The Lord with us. God with us. That's his name. That's the name that we will sing over the next 2 weeks. We'll be singing Emmanuel. God with us. And God was with Jesus. He went up. The Lord was with him. It says in Acts. We read it. The disciples here say, we saw the glory of God in him. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Let me just give you that verse in the contemporary English version. The CEV says this. It says, the Word became a human being and lived here with us. We saw his true glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. And then it adds this. It says, from him all the kindness and all the truth of God have come down to us. The Word became a human being and lived here with us. We saw his true glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. From him all the kindness and all the truth of God have come down to us. Now, how can this be, Mary asks? Well, this is how it is. And if you go back to Luke, if you still had a marker in there, or your thumb, or whatever it was, Luke 1, verse 34. How can this be? Now she puts to the angel a quite logical reasoning. How can I have a child but I haven't got a man? I'm not married. Now that's not a problem for God. Now, I'm not asking you to, if you want children and you're not married, and you ask God to give you one, ask God for a man first. No. Let's do it the proper way. But he says, the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. That word, overshadow. This is the same idea we read in Isaiah, where it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Darkness is going to cover the earth. Deep darkness will be on the people. But the Lord will arise over you, overshadow you, and his glory will be seen upon you. He says, the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then it goes on as with that thing that Cheryl said. So in verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. Come with me into the next chapter, chapter 2. Luke 2 verse, well, we haven't got time really to read the whole of the chapter, but Luke 2 begins talking about, it's talking about the time of the birth of Jesus. And again, this is a chapter that will be read, no doubt, a few times, and you'll hear it read over the next 2 weeks. But come with me to verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. Now, in verses 1 to 7, we have the account of the birth of Jesus, how he was born. It is, they laid him in the manger because there was no room in the inn. Now, in verse 8, it says this. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, when Jesus was born, what happened? At the time of the birth of Jesus, you know, almost get this image of excitement in heaven. And you know, Jesus is born, almost heaven itself just couldn't contain the joy. And this angel came from, it says the glory of the Lord shone all around the shepherds, all around the angel. And he came and he says, look, he said, I've come to tell you good news. That tonight, or this day, in Bethlehem, in the city of David, the Savior has been born. The Christ has come. The light of the world has been made manifest. The glory of God is here. There's that physical manifestation. He says the glory of the Lord shone around them. This physical manifestation of light. Now, in the Old Testament, I said it was the cloud, it was fire. There were other manifestations of the glory. But here we have the manifestation of light. The light has come. You know, the light has been switched on. That's what it says in Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, we know that's talking about, that's prophetic about Jesus. You know, the light has come. God's glory has risen. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, we see another physical manifestation of light. Because in Matthew 2, we read the story of the Magi.
Of the?
Magi, the wise men. M-A-G-I, the Magi. they saw a manifestation of light. They saw a star. And this star was a sign to them that a king had been born. He came to Herod in Jerusalem. And they asked this question. It says, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And then it says in verse 10, it says, when they departed from Herod, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. You know, they were following this manifestation of light. Now, as was said on Sunday, and you know, this event did not take place in the stable. But you often get the pictures of it. You've got the shepherds and you've got the wise men, and you know, all together in huddled around the little crib, the manger, this little feeding trough, whatever it was. And you see they're presenting their gifts, and there's a couple of shepherds, there's three wise men, there's a few sheep. And now this didn't happen. One, it actually says, in if you read this scripture, the shepherds went the very night Jesus was born. Or the very day. I'm guessing it was night because it says they were watching flocks by night. So they went at night down to where Jesus was laid, where he had just been born. His mother laid him in a feeding trough, which is what the cattle would eat out of. Why? Because there was no room in the inn, it says. Now, in Matthew 2, look what actually it says in verse 11, because this will answer some questions. The Bible actually tells us. It says in verse 11, it says, when they had come into the stable, the house, Mary and Joseph and Jesus are in a house. They're not in an inn. Yes. They're not in the stable. They're in a house. They are lodging somewhere in Bethlehem. They are in a house. Yes. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child. That refers to Jesus as a young child, not as a baby. Yeah, maybe 18 months, 2 years. Matthew 1:2, verse 11. And they saw Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped her. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the star they were following was a manifestation of light. The star is light. Stars are light. That's why they rejoiced. Why? Because they saw a manifestation of God's glory. This was a special star. Peter writes many years later in his letter, he says that his joy, like the joy, they rejoice with exceedingly great joy in verse 10. But Peter writes, he says that his joy was inexpressible and full of glory. If you want the scripture for that, it's 1 Peter 1 verse 8. 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Peter's joy was not only inexpressible. He says he couldn't talk about it, he couldn't explain, he can't express how joyful he is. He says, but his joy was full of glory, full of manifestation. I've got to finish. I could keep going. That's okay. Let me just go to two more scriptures and I'll finish here. Because I can keep on. I've got pages. And this is only half of the study. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Well, let's read verse 1. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. Right at the very beginning. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. So they're saying that in times past, God spoke in various ways to his people. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the priests. He spoke through the psalmist and the king. He spoke through these ones. He's spoken in various ways at various times in times past to the fathers. But now, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. Talking about Jesus. Jesus has been appointed heir of all things. Jesus has been appointed heir of all things. And it says, through whom also he made the world. Through whom also he made the world. So we're talking about, let's talk about Jesus here. And then it says in verse 3, talking about Jesus, who, being the brightness of his glory. Jesus is the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the brightness of the glory of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He's the express image of his person. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. And it says, he himself has, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So here, Jesus is the soulish New Testament. It says this, for this verse, verse 3. It says, the Son, this Son, talking about, again, about Jesus. This Son is the radiance of the Shekinah. The very expression of God's essence. So that's what we read in the Jewish New Testament. This Son is the radiance of the Shekinah, the glory of God. Now let's finish because my time is up. Back into Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Again, I've already touched on this verse. Remember, Jesus is the expression of God's glory. And in Matthew 1, 23, I've already quoted the verse. Yeah. Okay, let me read from verse 21, because this is the message that the angel is now speaking to Joseph. Because you know what happens, Joseph wants, he wants to get rid of Mary, he wants to cover all this up, he says, no, this is not good, and he wants to put her away. But the angel speaks to him and says, she, talking about Mary, will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Remember that statement. All this was done that it might be fulfilled. It was already previously spoken. God has spoken to it in times past. And this was the prophecy from Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. He is the expression of the glory of God. When we see that statement, God with us, or the Lord with them, or God working, where it says the Lord with them, or with him, or with her, talking about the glory of God. Now this next 2 weeks, this season, it's not about, and you'll hear this a lot, Oh, well, you know, we've got to do this because it's about the children. You'll hear that. They say, oh, Christmas is about the children. It's about a child. Not talking about... Yeah, I know. Naturally, yes, we like to give presents. It's not about the presents that we give. It's about a present that was given.
Yes.
It's not about what they call Father Christmas. It's about a father.
Father.
A father. Not about this particular father. A father. It's not about the dinner, the family, and everything else that goes, and all the celebrations. What we're going to celebrate is the fact that Jesus is the true glory of the season. You know, you see it. You'll see this along the front. If you drive along the front, just going towards the aquarium from the Arab. I'm not saying that this is, I'm not going to get into the debate whether this was the actual time of the year and all that, but this is the time of year actually we celebrate the coming of Jesus. The birth of the Christ. The expression of God's glory. And that's what we should celebrate. And we'll leave it there tonight. Amen.